What a joy to be with you today. If you have access to a Bible, I know we have the scriptures on screen, but I think you would benefit from looking at your Bibles at Psalm 139. If you have phones that you want to look at with the scripture, would encourage you to look at Psalm 139 there. So, it's a privilege to be back here with you. My goodness, it's been a while. I've been in the traditional service and in the United service, but I hadn't been in contemporary for a while. So, okay. I mean, where do you start? How about a game of Jeopardy, okay? Remember on TV, Jeopardy? Okay, you ready? Okay, movies for 100. Y'all too slow. Greatest movie series of all time. Rocky, obviously. Sylvester Stallone. The washed-up, second-rate fighter, punch drunk. Okay, movies for 300. Y'all still too slow. Okay, the greatest line in the Rocky series. No, that's good. That's good. But you remember his corner man, his best buddy, soon to become brother-in-law, Paulie? Paulie, I's got gaps. You's got gaps. We's all got gaps. From the Bible, verse or chapter 139. Now, you may not recognize it. It's not directly from the Greek. It's not even directly from good English. But we're going to do Psalm 139 and see if you don't agree that Rocky pretty well hits the Word of God on the head, okay? Psalm 139 begins, verse 1. Lord, you have searched me and known me. So it's a prayer, right? He's praying. David is praying, and the book of Psalms is known as several things, but one of the things is it's known as the prayer book of the Old Testament. And what I find interesting as I was rummaging around thinking about this, isn't it interesting that in the New Testament, Jesus' disciples say, Lord, teach us to pray. You think those Jewish disciples knew the book of Psalms? I believe they did, and yet they ask, teach us to pray. Well, what is interesting, they would have sung prayers on the way to Jerusalem to the feast, to the Passover feast, and those songs are called the Hallel. And Josh mentioned last Sunday that we think that the last of the Hallel Psalms, 118, is the song that the disciples sang with Jesus at the end of the meal. Now, that's 113 to 118, the Psalms of Ascent. As they're climbing the mountain, heading to Jerusalem, heading to Passover. I think I said that wrong. 113 and 8 through 118 is the Hallel, the celebration at Passover. Psalms 120 to 134 were the Psalms of Ascent that they sang on the way to Jerusalem to Passover. What's the next feast coming up that the Jews are going to celebrate? Trick question. Because normally Jewish Passover is very close to Easter. But what's happening this year? Leap year, and they add not a day, but a month. So it's later on. But after this feast, what's the next time we're going to Jerusalem? Pentecost, to celebrate the next harvest and to celebrate the giving of the law. And for us Christians, the birthday of the church, the granting, the giving of the Holy Spirit. Now, notice something, that the Hallel, 113 through 118, and the Psalms of Ascent, 120 to 134, sandwich the longest chapter in the Bible, 119, which is all about the law. It's the way, the Jewish people. There are two ways, right way, wrong way. Righteous way, wicked way. And the law is right in between there. So Rocky may not have quoted 139 accurately, but I think he's pretty good. Now, Psalm 139, here's why I want you to look at your Bibles. Psalm 139 is in four sections of six verses each. We call those sections strophes, and we're going to read God's word, and we're going to read it one strophe at a time, okay? So, Lord, may we hear your word. As we have sung, may your spirit sing to us, speak to us. And if our minds wander, and sometimes our minds do wander, may we wander in the spirit, not in some forsaken wilderness. Hear our prayers. Illumine us now to what you are saying to each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, is repetition important? Okay. There's a word that you're going to hear me repeat, or a form of the word, four times in this first strophe. I'll try to remember to hold up a finger each time that I hit it. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high I cannot attain it. And the word is? Know or knowledge. Four times in that one strophe. This strophe is about the omniscience of God. The all-knowing or omniscient God. Now, in addition to being the prayer book of the Old Testament and song book of the Old Testament, it's also the book of worship of the Old Testament. It's all, Psalms are all about worship. Now, worship in English is kin to the word worth or worthy. In Hebrew, however, it's a picture word, and it means fall down, prostrate, kneel, bow before. The inferior in the presence of the superior. Submission in the face of absolute supremacy. That's worship. That's worship. Okay? Now, David before the all-knowing omniscience, capital O, in full worship, marvels at God's knowledge. Oh God, it's too wonderful for me. If I reach up for it, I can't get there. I can't attain it. Oh Lord, I want to eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. And I still can't do it. David falls into a worship mode. Second strophe, verses 7 through 12. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, the place of the dead, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. Your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day. For darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. From God's omniscience, we go to God's omnipresence. If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I go to Sheol, you're there. Hemmed in. God gets there first. The all-knowing God. The God who is everywhere. Wow. And what does David do? Look at strophe number 3. Beginning at verse 13. You form my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you. Can you hear him singing? I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, every one of the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Worship. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they're more than the sand. I awake from a good night's sleep or from death, from Sheol. Scholars are divided. I'm not. I'm clear that it's when he awakes from death. I am still with you. I would have written it different. I awake. And you're still with me. But then again, I didn't write it. And I didn't inspire it. I awake and I am still with you. Scholars say if David stopped right here at verse 18, it would be the most complete, the highest, the best theology in all of the Old Testament. It would be full. Nothing more. Okay? It parallels Jesus' cry on the cross. Okay? The cry of victory. It is finished. Done. Complete. Full. That's what it parallels. But shock of all shocks, David doesn't stop. He keeps on going. I want to comment on that verse 17 and 18 before I move on, though. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. The question of waking up from a good night's sleep or the sleep of death, and I've got to go back to verse 8. If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. In life and in death, God is there. From before I was born to after I die. David, you got to know when to stop. Preachers got to know when to stop, right? He doesn't stop. I mean, look at the next strophe, okay? Verses 19 through 24. I'm going to change my tone of voice to reflect what I'm seeing here. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent, your enemies. Take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Where'd that come from? I mean, the beauty, the wonder, the completeness of verses 1 through 18. And all of a sudden, the venom, the hatred, the bitterness comes out of nowhere. It seems, but it really comes out of reality. It comes out of human experience. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine. You got them? I got them. Adversaries, problems, difficulties, challenges. I mean, you might have woke up singing this morning. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Everything's going my way. I bet you if you haven't run into something wrong yet, you will before you go to sleep tonight. Enemies. We have our enemies in life. And the last enemy to be defeated is death itself. We got our problems. We got our issues. Wow. David speaks reality. David speaks our reality and our experience. But he doesn't stop there. It's another about face. It's another turnaround. Look at verses 23 and 24 that end this strophe. Search me, O God, and know my heart. You see what he's doing? He's going back to the beginning. He's going back to verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. Now he says, again, an invitation to God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Interesting. What happens? I think God hits David over the head with a 2x4. I think the Holy Spirit gets after him. Oh my goodness, God. Could I be one of those enemies? Could I be one of those that I say you hate and I hate? Or has the Holy Spirit some kind of way gotten after David here? maybe by the way of prelude, premonition, Holy Spirit speaking to him, like the Holy Spirit spoke to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah warns us, the human heart is deceitful above all things. Or Proverbs, did Solomon, David's son, write them? Proverbs 28, that says, if you trust in your own heart, you are a fool. Oh, wow. You know what I'm hearing here? I'm hearing communion language. I'm hearing Last Supper conversation. Is it I, Lord? Could it be me? Judas question? Question that the rest of the disciples ask? Could it be me? It's not me. Not me, is it, Jesus? Wow. Now, at that point, quality control got a hold of my sermon. Her name is Diane, my wife, okay? She said, you can't leave me there. You can't leave them there, Tommy. You got to keep on going. Search my heart. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. I'm awake. I awake, and I'm still with you. Show of hands. How many of you, when you're praying for somebody else, you say, Lord, be with them. Come on. Come on. I know you. Every prayer I'm praying for, Lord, be with them. Well, pray tell, at Christmas time, didn't we celebrate Emmanuel? Which means God with us. The omniscience of God, the omnipresence of God. Anybody that you pray, God be with them. I wonder if God's saying to me, Tommy, are you kidding? You know I'm with them. I awake and I am still with you. What a blessing that is. Amen? Rather should we be praying, lead me in the way everlasting. All right. So I'm closing with this. Okay. I think this is the right place. It was Civil War. And the war is not going so good for the Union. And then U.S. Grant gets appointed head of the Northern Armies. And the tide starts to turn. And one of the president's advisors, maybe a cabinet member, I can't remember precisely, comes to President Lincoln and says, Mr. President, it's beginning to look like God is on our side. President responds, I'm not so concerned about whether God is on our side. My concern is whether we are on God's side. Are we on God's side today? Praise the Lord. We might go to sleep, but when we wake up, I am still with you, O God. Still with you. Lord, we thank you for the truth of the Psalms. We thank you for the prophecy. We thank you for the fulfillment. We thank you that now we are people of the way. What Christians were first called, people of the way. And that Jesus promised his followers, I am the way, not the way of the law. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Father, lead us. Continue to lead us. In your grace, lead us in the way everlasting, the very way of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And God's people in agreement will say, amen.